We're going to sing a hymn, and then after that, give opportunity for a family to say a few words, and then if there's anyone else that would like to say a few words. So maybe you can stand at this one. Let's stand and sing from hymn number 703.
For those of you that I haven't had maybe the pleasure of meeting yet, I'm Rosemary Knoxon, and I'm Ava's very humble granddaughter. I would like to welcome all of you here today, and I bring greetings from Ava's sister, Anita Bielek, and that's Anita's picture down there. Also her niece, Petra, and her husband, Abdi Thomas, who were unable to travel here from Germany. They sent the following message. Dear Evtin, or Auntie Ava, it hurts not being able to see you. It hurts not being able to feel you. You never gave up and found the strength to overcome. There are so many questions and still so much to say, but our love and thoughts of you will always be in our hearts and give us strength. You lived life to the fullest until death called you home. The memories of the many days and weeks we spent together with the family and friends and neighbors will always be with us. And we thank you for it with all our love, Anita, Petra, and Abdi. So I'd also like to introduce my mom, Helga Van Meers, my brother, Roland Van Meers. I have another brother, Eric Van Meers. He is in Australia. My husband, Eric, is here. And my son, Adam, is here. And collectively, we are Ava's Canadian family. And you'll hear more about this shortly. I do want to mention that we greatly appreciate that you had the road outside the church here named Alberta Way. Given we're all from the province of Alberta, we're assuming you did that just to help us remember on how to get here. So thank you for that. So, first and foremost, we would like to thank all of you for your unwavering support, hugs, soup, candies, cookies, flowers, and the real love that you showed to Ava and to our family over these past few days, weeks, and months. She was truly surrounded by an amazing community for which we are eternally grateful. Now, if only the whole world could get along like that. There are a few very special people we'd like to take a moment to acknowledge. Pastor Ganga, Willie and Jack Camfus and the Trinity Reformed Church family here. Kay and Dudley Ellis, Ed Solomon, Jane Hanlon, and the amazing community at Carriage House where she lived. You have particularly been Ava's and our rocks over the past few weeks. Thank you. Now, we thought you might like to know a little bit of history about Ava. I mean, how does a girl from Germany end up in California? Well, it's a pretty cool story. How many of you know that Ava escaped through the Berlin Wall? Yeah, quite a number of you did. And my son, Adam, actually found a piece of the Berlin Wall as we were going through Ava's things the other day. So in 1955, the Soviets gave East Germany authority over civilian movements in Berlin. Initially, East Germany granted visits to allow residents to access West Germany. However, following the defection of a large number of East Germans, the new East German state restricted virtually all travel to the West in 1956. Now, right about 1956, Ava's father had been a prisoner of war in Russia, and Russia released all of its POWs to West Germany, and he was in Stuttgart. Now, the problem was Ava, her grandmother, her mother, sister, and brother were all in East Germany. Ava was just finishing her final nursing practicum in Frankfurt on the River Oder. Ava's mother took her brother and sister and attempted to go to West Germany. They were caught in Berlin, and they were sent back. 6 weeks later, they tried again. This time, the grandmother told the police patrols that they had gone to visit an uncle in the nearby town. Well, they made it to West Berlin and then eventually to Stuttgart. 6 months later, Ava's grandmother escaped as well. Ava decided to leave East Germany after she completed her nursing training. She decided her best bet, with the least number of security patrols, would be New Year's Eve of 1956. Well, she managed to get through and onward to Stuttgart. Now, this is where the next best bit of history is probably best told to my mom, Helga.
Oh, my turn now. I have known Eva for almost 60 years, 59 actually, to be correct. We met in Switzerland, where Eva had made her way to after she left Germany. We were working both as operating room nurses in the in a university hospital in Zurich, Switzerland. One day, Eva heard a conversation I had with one of the surgeons who knew that I soon would be leaving for Canada, where I had been before. That evening, Eva came to my apartment and asked if I could use a travel companion. She wanted a change of scenery, and Canada looked just as good to her than any other place on this earth. I was just too happy to have her come with me. She did tell me that she did speak no English, she had Russian at school, and she was a bit worried as to how she would fare in a new country with a new language. I put her at ease, telling her I would teach her the necessary words to survive a bit and the rest will come as she immerses herself into Canadian life. I sent an application for 2 operating room nurses to 10 hospitals in Alberta, the province I wanted to see at the time, and told Eva, the first one that offers us a position, that's where we would be going, which was fine with her. The first offer came within 2 weeks from Peace River, a town 300 miles north of Edmonton. I don't know if you know where Edmonton is. Of course, we had no idea where that was. But being adventurous as we were at that time, we accepted the offer, applied for a visa for Eva, and booked our way to Canada and Peace River. Every morning, walking to work before we left for Canada, I would teach Eva a few English words such as good morning, good night, yes, no, many others I thought she might need in our work as operating room nurses, and the most important one, pardon me? By the time we left for Canada, Eva did pretty good remembering all the learned words. Arriving in Edmonton from where we needed to take a little plane up to Peace River, we did some last-minute shopping. At a drugstore, Eva had bought a few items and asked me to pay for them. I said, no, just use your English. We'll see how far you get. Well, the cashier told Eva the total amount she owed, and Eva looked perplexed and said, pardon me? The cashier repeated her story, and Eva looked at me with tears in her eyes. So I came to her rescue and told her in German how much she had to pay. Back at the hotel then, that evening, Eva was crushed and said she would never survive here in Canada. To put her at ease, I turned on the TV and in the room, and a variety show was on, with a performer singing the song, and a lot of you people will know it, Heartaches, Heartaches. I looked at Eva and said, well, you know what he's talking about. She listened for a moment and then said, sure. Something about hard-boiled eggs. I dissolved in laughter and Eva into tears. In Peace River, we were met at the airport by the matron of the hospital. Getting into that lady's car, Eva was a bundle of nerves. I had told her in the plane any questions to her that needed to be answered with yes, I would poke her once. If it were needed to be answered with no, I would poke her twice. So we drove from the airport to into the town of Peace River, poke, 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 poke. But Eva was a quick learner. Everyone at the hospital and at the nurse's residence helped her with English, and it didn't take long at all before she was able to better communicate. One day, one of our doctors was telling us stories about South Africa and how much we would like that country. Anytime we would like to change of scenery, he would help us to get a job in South Africa. In the meantime, I had met my future husband and decided to stay in Peace River, but Eva decided to take him up on the offer to get her a job into Johannesburg, South Africa. It didn't take long, and Eva was on her way to her next adventure. She stayed in touch with me throughout her life and often came all the way from South Africa on holidays to me. She met Rosemary as a baby, my other son, Eric, as a baby, and the most she saw in the baby stage was Roland. All my children regarded her as their second mom. One day, I had a phone call from Dr. Honey, the doctor who brought her to South Africa. He needed Eva's address in Johannesburg as he was going to bring her to the USA to work at the San Leandro Hospital. And sure enough, he had flown to Johannesburg, convinced Eva to come to the States, and in 1969, on the last day in the last hour of her valid entry visa, Eva crossed into the United States, and you all had the privilege to get to know and love her, this incredible, amazing lady. She will be in my heart forever.
It's quite a story, really. And when I think about that story, I think of two things. I think of courage, and I think of love, and that's what I wrote to Eva on her 81st birthday, in her birthday card. When I was in grade school, I bragged to my friend because I had a cool aunt in California. I probably scored a few more bragging rights after I spent a few summers with living with Eva. While Eva was at work, I was roaming at the age of 12 and 14 the streets of San Francisco, hanging off cable cars and jumping the ferry to Alcatraz on a fairly daily basis. However, I ensured I was floating in her swimming pool by her apartment by the time she rolled in from work. And then I tortured her all night long with my Saturday Night Fever album. As I grew older and slightly less self-centered, I began to realize what an amazing lady I had in my life. It took an incredible amount of courage to escape East Germany, the courage to go to Switzerland, and let alone some small community in northern Alberta, where I just checked the weather network. It is currently minus 13 Celsius or 18 degrees Fahrenheit. They are on a 20 to 25 centimeter or 7-plus inch snowfall warning this afternoon. And at this time of the year, there's only 7 hours of daylight. On top of that, you don't speak the language. Even more courage, of course, to travel onward to South Africa and eventually here to California. Her courage, along with all the stories and adventures I've heard from my mom and from Eva, have been an inspiration for me in my life as well. They both taught me that anything is possible. When I mentioned to Eva that I was going to go work as a nurse in Saudi Arabia, she said, "Well, that will be an adventure." Speaking of adventures, our last great adventure together was to Yosemite this April. We had a ridiculous amount of snow in Canada this past winter, and I was so looking forward to coming to California for some sunshine. Eva said, "We're going to Yosemite." I'm like, "Awesome." It was under a snowfall warning. They made me put snow chains on her car, and I'm looking at that going, "That's nothing. I can drive through that. It's okay." But anyway, we got to Yosemite. We had two glorious days there. The sun came out, the snow melted. We hiked for hours. I was a little worried we were going a little too far and too hard. She just wanted to keep on going. It was awesome. I have the most beautiful selfie of the two of us with El Capitan behind us. I hope I have instilled even an ounce of that amount of courage in my children, Adam and Sarah. The other word that comes to mind when I think of Eva is love. Eva was always there for our family, through good times and bad. And if there was ever a question that help was potentially needed, she was on that first plane. We were thrilled to have Eva come for things like Christmas, even though that definitely was not one of her most favorite times to visit Canada. Her last visit, it was minus 26 Celsius or minus 15 Fahrenheit. Even in our house, she wore multiple layers, jackets. The heat was cranked, and she complained about the godforsaken country that we lived in. But she was also there for the good times, the baptisms, the confirmations, the graduations. It was a real thrill for me to be able to introduce my godmother to my pastor when my daughter had her confirmation. And she even made it to Sarah's confirmation or high school graduation earlier this June. I could always rely on her for some good advice or an unbiased opinion. She had this uncanny ability to listen, to process, and summarize your situation before you even finished your sentence or sentences, and then provided you with the insight and advice that you were probably looking for. Now, if she didn't approve of something that you may have said, you got the... And if she really didn't agree with you, you got... the finger, and the... So that's when I knew. I was so grateful and honored to be able to have reciprocated all of her love for me and all of our family over this, back to her over this past year and a half. It was a real privilege to be there in her final moments. She truly was at peace.
Oh.
All right. Well, as Rosemary mentioned earlier, my name is Roland Van Meers. I am her brother. I'm the son of Helga. And before we get started, I wanted to do something a little bit which I know Ava would absolutely love. Now, as we know, she traveled everywhere, and many of you have seen all her photographs of Africa and all the different destinations that she traveled to. And then one day, she got one of these. And anybody who's been to her house, you know she loved this thing. Whether you were there or not, she loved to take a look at it. But a big thing that Ava had was she always liked to capture the moment. So in honor of Ava, what I would like to do is I would like to capture the moment with all of you, all right? So we're going to go like this.
Oh boy.
We're going to get everybody. I want everybody to smile. Mom, you need to move a little forward. Excellent. Smile. Perfect. That looks good. You guys look amazing back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And we'd like to share all of this with her sister Anita and her niece Petra.
First memories. We heard about the memories everybody has. My first memories of Ava started 48 years ago when I was a little baby. I may not necessarily remember it at the time, but I have pictures to prove it of her holding me as a nice little baby, and it was great.
Sleeping,
that's right. I certainly enjoyed our family get-togethers. They were a lot of fun. Our family vacations, there was numerous of them that Ava was able to join us with. Number one, there's a place called Adams Lake. Adams Lake is in British Columbia, and I always remember the beauty of the area. Ava would just look around and go, lovely. She just loved it. She then traveled with us to the far eastern coast of Canada into Newfoundland. And in Newfoundland, we got to explore Grosmore National Park and take it all in. She loved the hiking. She loved the outdoors. She loved the adventure. And best of all, I got to be her roommate on that one in our condo. Trips to Canada, of course, in all seasons. Rosemary talked about the cold. She came in the heat. She came in ever. But even in our summers in July, she brought her heating blanket. She brought her slippers. She brought everything that she needed that she was going to get us through her next adventure of Canada. And, of course, in times of need, when my father was ill and eventually passed away, as Rosemary said, she was first on the plane to come see us, for sure. So as the three of us stood up here, we heard Mom talk about the story of Ava as her journey started in Germany, over into Canada, into South Africa, and eventually into California. Rosemary talked about her two words. She talked about the courage that she gave her and the love that she gave her. And there's one word that I really like, and that is inspiration. Inspiration is something that she gave me of many of the things that she did for us. And when I got here, when I got the phone call to come down on Sunday to be here, I'd like to thank many of you. You sent a lot of words of praise and everything about Ava, and I want to share one with you from one of her adopted Canadian family members that was unable to be with us today. And this, to me, screams inspiration. Dear Ava, I can't be there physically to celebrate your life, but I'm there in heart and soul. You touched my heart the very first day that we met, and I'm truly honored you were my friend. I will miss looking forward to our visits, seeing your smiling face, hearing your laugh, and watching your cheeks turn red as we shared a glass of wine. I can still feel your last hug at the Pagalac restaurant in Edmonton. I didn't want to let you go. I know the last few months were hard on you, but you still held strong and saw the bright side of life. You're a courageous lady. Until the end, now is the time to rest easy. You will always be in a special place in my heart. Goodbye, my dear. I love you. We had many inspirational stories from many people, and that definitely was what I wanted to share with you. And she inspired me. When we talk about inspiration inspiring, not only from the message that we received, I think of the things that inspired me, and definitely her story is something that inspired me. Somebody who can take that courage to get to where she was today is absolutely amazing. Her travels. Of course, her travels, as Pastor mentioned and we have mentioned before, she hit all seven continents of the entire world. And it wasn't necessarily of the tourist destination and just the fact of going. Ava was there to really know about the people. She wanted to learn about the culture. She wanted to taste and sample a little food while she was at it as well. Of course, there was always giving back to the community. So the church itself, she gave a lot back into the community, and she volunteered and made different things that the church organization has done. She has volunteered, like I said, at the church. She did volunteering in many of the seniors groups as well as I loved listening to her trips where she went down to Guatemala with her fellow doctors, and she was doing her trips down to Guatemala, and she was giving back to that community there. Then it comes to helping others. Many of you in the room, I'm sure, can say that she has helped you at some time. Different types of help that could be. Maybe you just need some advice. You went to her and gave you a little bit of advice. As long as you didn't get that, you knew that you were doing okay. A lot of you had questions. She was a wealth of knowledge. She was able to question and answer any question that you ever had. If you just simply want to hang around, she's great comfort for everybody, that's for sure. And of course, if you just wanted to feel really good that day and you needed a big hug from her, she was able to give you those too, even though she was only about this tall. She gave you great hugs as well. So of course, we now look at it as we move on. And some people think, oh, she's not with us. What do I do? What do I do? I do. Here's what I recommend. I encourage all of you to light a candle tonight. And I want you to think about those four things. Number one, her story. Number two, her courage. Number three, her love. And number four, her inspiration to all of you. And if you take that, incorporate that into your daily lives as you move forward, it'll just make you that much better of a person. Thank you.
Is there anyone else would like to say a few words? Yes.
Hello, my name is Carol, and I worked with Ava for many years at San Leandro. We have a lot of people sitting over on the side of the room that worked with Ava at San Leandro. I know there's a couple people on this side of the room that also worked with her, Kay being one of them, and San Leandro Memorial, right? One of the guys that we worked with, his name was Ed Laris. He couldn't be here today, but you mentioned Guatemala. He was her Guatemala buddy. So I asked him if he wanted me to say anything on his behalf, so he sent me a few things to say. In addition to being such a great inspiration to me and many others, she was the kindest, warmest person one could ever call friend. Okay. For years, she and I would cover call together, and it was such a pleasure watching Ava at work during an urgent emergent situation. I have so many memories of those crazy nights, and we would always end with an embrace, knowing that we had done our best for those patients. There were also fun and games and lots of laughter with her, too. We used to travel to Guatemala on medical missions together for years. She was my little buddy there, too. At the end of our trips, we would go off to different places for some R&R, and she was lots of fun there as well. One year, I believe her final mission year, we traveled to the ruins of Tikal, where I convinced her to climb tall, challenging pyramids. She was such a trooper. He said the funniest thing was the year we introduced basic technology and took walkie-talkies to Guatemala, so before cell phones. We used these to communicate with the surgeons up in the clinic to let them know that we were ready for surgery. I remember having one in my back pocket. I was scrubbed in and getting ready for a gynae case. I asked David to call for the surgeon. She asked me how to operate the walkie-talkie. Rather than pulling it out of my pocket to use it, she stooped over and began to speak to my very She began to speak to my derriere and saying, "Hello, doctor, come in," with her charming accent. We were all in stitches, including her. For this, she was honored with the Turkey Award that day for doing the funniest thing. Ava, I'm sorry for not being here today. You know I love you, and you will always be a part of me forever. You rival with my mother as the bravest person I've ever met. God bless you, and say hi to Claire. Thelma and Louise have been reunited. So for those of you who don't know Claire and Ava were really good friends. I was also kind of in that mix. They were older than me. I learned a lot from them. But Claire and Ava went and did all those trips to Africa and safaris and went up to Alaska in that little SUV and camped and slept in it. And we were all like, you're going to do what? They had a great trip. And one of my fond memories is I'd go over to Claire's house after work. They both had retired. And Ava would be there, and we'd be talking. And, you know, Claire was East Coast, so she had that East Coast humor, which Ava did not have East Coast humor. So Claire would say something a little bit on the sarcastic side, and Ava would look. And I'm from Chicago. I understand sarcasm. So I was kind of in the middle trying to explain to Ava. She didn't really mean it the way it sounded. And that would go on and on. But I love them both, and they are together again, and God bless. We will miss her. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roland, for sharing the four items by which we're going to remember Ava: courage, love, inspiration, and her story. I'm Alan Thayer. I've known Ava almost, 40 years now. When I first got to meet Ava at the Christian Reformed Church in Alameda, so we go a ways back. I want to add a fifth attribute to how we're going to remember Ava today: servanthood. Ava was one of the most amazing servants of the Lord and of fellow man that I could ever imagine. And this is one, the thing that was going through my mind these past couple of days. Ava tirelessly gave of herself when it came to being a surgical nurse. She helped people get better. She helped assist doctors in the operating room. She was concerned about people's well-being and certainly about her spiritual well-being. But she also tirelessly, daily, day by day, was at the side of one of her dear friends, my dear friend, June Robinson. When June Robinson was passing away of cancer, there was Ava every day, day after day after day, helping June Robinson. June Robinson went to be with the Lord. Tina DeKuyper became ill. And Tina DeKuyper, every single day, day after day after day, there was Ava serving Tina DeKuyper's needs. Tina has also gone to be with the Lord. But I see this played time and time in her life. Ava loved to be a servant. Well, the Lord never gave her a family, a physical family, but he gave her an immense family. And I praise God for the legacy that she leaves with her servant.
Just mentioned Tina DeKuyper, one of our members, and passed away, and of course Ava was there. One story I have that Tina was kind of going in and out of consciousness, and at one point she opened her eyes, and Ava was standing by her bed, and she says to Ava, "Ava, are you here too?" I guess Ava can say, yes, I am here today, too. It may be a little cool, but we put the air conditioning on just to make the Canadians feel at home. But usually we have it a little warmer than this in church, so if you come back, it'll be much warmer. Well, let's stand, and I'll pronounce a benediction, and then we'll sing the doxology, which is from the Red Hymnals, number 386. But first, let me pronounce a benediction. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. We do have coffee and refreshments. They are in the back room, but the back room is packed of people right now. So once we remove those people and a lot of the chairs, then that's where coffee will be.